Okay. No way I want to be there.
Huh?
We will call to order the Monday, May 3rd edition of the Waking Subcommittee on Public Safety. We have a work session for Senate Bill 5520, the Department of Justice scheduled, and we'll proceed accordingly. We hear from staff, I'd like to call someone from the department up. That's Ms. Kristen Granger, to report to us some new developments with regard to the tobacco legal fees settlement that we were not privy to when we originally heard the budget. So with that, let me turn that over to Ms. Kristen.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members. For your record, Kristen Granger, Executive Assistant to Attorney General Myers. Hardy sends his regrets that he could not be here personally today. He had a scheduling conflict, a longstanding appointment out of state. To my right is Mark Gardner, Special Counsel to the Attorney General, who has headed our litigation with the tobacco industry, and he is the best person to report to you the latest information on the attorney's fees and the reimbursement of the case cost.
You're fine, right there.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mark Gardner. I'm Special Counsel to the Attorney General. And for the last 2.5 years, I've been the person who's had day-to-day responsibility for managing the state's tobacco litigation. In November of 1998, the state of Oregon settled its litigation with the tobacco companies. Pursuant to that settlement, the companies were required to do many things, and among the things that they were required to do was to establish two funds. There was a fund of $150 million for tobacco attorney's fees, in-house attorney's fees and costs, reimbursement, and also a fund called the Strategic Contribution Fund, which totaled $8.61 billion, which was to be divided among the states based upon their contribution to the tobacco litigation resolution. You have in front of you a list of funds, a document, and you will find both of those funds listed there. Pursuant to the settlement, the state of Oregon in January, Department of Justice submitted to the tobacco companies our request for reimbursement for in-house attorney's fees and costs. And pursuant to the master settlement agreement, we were able to submit our request for reimbursement at market rate, which ranged basically from between $125 per hour up to $225 per hour, depending upon the seniority of the attorney involved. That compares to the rate that we billed out of $79 per hour in our time. Putting those two things together, we were able to be in a situation where we were expecting to receive approximately $1.1 million, which was the difference between those two figures, which we reported basically to this committee. We submitted, as I said, our request for reimbursement in January of 1999. After some discussions and negotiations about our submission with the tobacco companies, we received verbal approval from them in February of 1999 to be reimbursed for $1.739 million. At about the time that we received this verbal agreement in terms of the amount that we were going to be reimbursed, the tobacco companies were getting submissions from some of the other states. And based upon those submissions, they had some concerns. They were concerned that based upon the amount of the submissions, that they were going to run out of money, that the $150 million fund would be exhausted. And so they were faced with several options as to how to handle the situation. They could obviously pay out in the order of priority those requests that they, and submissions they'd received, and down the line there would be some states that submitted that would not be paid, and then they would be probably sued by those states based upon some breach of the agreement. Or they could take the money, the $150 million, and just tender it into court, what's known as an interpleader action, and in essence say to the court, here's the money, these are the claimants, and let them just go after it in terms of trying to get their money. Or the third possibility was that they could approach the National Association of Attorney Generals, NAG, and ask them to take over the $150 million from the administration of the Attorney Fees and Costs Fund in terms of trying to satisfy all the state's claims. They chose the latter option, and they approached NAG to do this. And at the spring meeting of the NAG, which was in March of this year, March of 99, a resolution was passed to provide for an amendment to the Master Settlement Agreement to allow the National Association of Attorney Generals to take over this fund and then to apportion it among the states. This amendment requires unanimous consent of each of the states and territories involved in the settlement. If even one state objects, that's not a possibility, and then you have to go back to option number one or option number two. Coincidentally, with all this happening, the Attorney Generals of each of the states and territories has submitted to the to NAG their request for payment under the Strategic Contribution Fund. And in February, actually in March of 1999, a panel of three former Attorney Generals, including General Frohnmayer, decided preliminarily that they would divide 80% of the fund up, and Oregon was going to receive $207 million as its share regarding its contribution to resolution of the litigation. We were 11th best in terms of our contribution being valued among the 52 states and territories in that preliminary determination. Some states didn't fare as well, and one of them was Nebraska. And there was some discussion about this at the NAG spring meeting. There was a panel set up by NAG of two attorney generals from states that were not involved in the settlement, their states having settled with the tobacco companies previously, Generals Moore and Butterworth of Mississippi and Florida, to kind of look at the remaining 20% of the Strategic Contribution Fund and to make a recommendation to the panel of three former attorney generals as to how that might be divided among the other states to satisfy some of the states that were not happy. They made their recommendation, and you have in your packet a letter from General Stenberg from Nebraska, and General Stenberg was not happy with the recommendation. And so now he has taken the position that, in essence, he's not going to sign the Master Settlement Agreement Amendment to allow the attorney's fees and costs to be handled by NAG, which will probably force the interpleader action where the money goes into the court. There's a master appointed, and then there's a reexamination of the amounts that each state should get. The bottom line here is that I think we can say with safety two things. First of all, it isn't clear when the state of Oregon will receive its money. If it goes into an interpleader action, that could be years before the money is received. The attorney's fees and costs. If it's through NAG, there will be the possibility of a reexamination of the amount of the attorney's fees, and there could be a lesser amount given to the state of Oregon. So both the amount and the timing of the receipt of payment is uncertain at this point. And we present that to the committee for its consideration as it relates to our budget, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Sure. Representative Posansky. Plus, in your analysis, it sounds to me like we, because of our position being from 11th, and I assume Nebraska being lower, that all the states that are above it may be affected by this, not just Oregon.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Posansky. All the states will be affected by Nebraska's failure to sign the MSA amendment because that will require the matter to be handled in court through an interpleader action.
Chairman.
Senator Hannah.
Mark, you go through here listing out seven things, and the state's cost, reimbursed state agency costs, including legal services. Has that money already been accrued, or is it waiting to be accrued to the Attorney General's office? It says $150 million. I assume that's for all the states and settled.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hammond, that money has been paid into escrow. It's there. The tobacco companies have paid it. It's just a question of how it's going to be dispersed.
And so this other agreement by Nebraska
will or will not impact that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, it will impact it because the mechanism as to how it will be distributed is affected. It will be either by the National Association of Attorney Generals if the amendments approved by all the states and territories, or it will be by a court through an interpleader action.
So, in other words, you might possibly receive less
than what you expended, or no more than what you expended.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, I don't believe that that's likely to occur. I think that the scenario is we could receive less than the $1.739 million that they agreed to pay us in February, but I am reasonably certain that ultimately we will receive more than $666,000 that we extended.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Patrick.
It just appears that Mr. Steinberg, the Attorney General for Nebraska, in his letter, I think his only concern, though, it appears what he raises in the letter isn't in regards to the Strategic Contribution Fund and does not appear to be about the reimbursement for attorney's fees. The attorney's fees portion will be tied up, though, in an interpleader action if the person shakes their head. So those funds won't be tied up in the interpleader action, or will they be tied up in the interpleader action on the strategic, on the settlement in total?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, the $207 million that the state of Oregon will receive under the Strategic Contribution Fund award will be paid out during the years 2008 through 2017.
Right.
Those funds will not be tied up in any interpleader action. However, if General Steinberg does not sign the amendment to the MSA, then the $150 million for the attorney's fees is very likely to be in court in an interpleader action and tied up.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get to is that I think we're here to modify this, to look at modifying the DOJ budget compared to the attorney fees that will come in. So we have to make the decision we're making now is just to believe that they're going to come in out of the attorney fees portion, not out of the strategic, what do they call it, the strategic contribution fund.
And based on timing, I mean, the $206, $207 million is something we're not immediately concerned with, even though we have to be biennial. So it should be okay there. It's a question of what curtails the drag and the legal fee portion down and how that immediately impacts DOJ's budget and how we're approaching it. I think we've got some solutions worked out, but we'll discuss those.
Thank you, Mr. Mark, I guess I want to make sure I understand what's going to be effective. If the MSA is not signed by all the attorney generals, does that mean everything that we see in this list of funds is going to be impacted, or just the one number 7 strategic contribution fund?
Mr. Chairman, Representative
Gansky,
the only thing that will be affected will be the attorney fees. $150 million reimbursement because the amendment to the MSA that's proposed changes the deal, in essence, and has NAG administering that money as opposed to potentially a court doing it through an interpleader action.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Kristen or Mark on this latest little, but probably not last, bump in the road with regard to the tobacco settlement? Representative Patrick.
I just want to know if we're trying to settle this and leave the strategic contributions fund for some other type of negotiation in terms of resolving this issue. They could come in with an interpleader and decide some of those other issues, and I'm just kind of based upon the way the letter's written, it appears that you could do something like that from a settlement standpoint. Is NAG pursuing that? What are we doing from the state of Oregon? Are we just letting the NAG kind of look at that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, we don't have any kind of control as it relates to the Strategic Contribution Fund. The panel of the three former AGs makes that decision. They make the decision not in light of the criteria that General Stenberg outlines in his letter. They make it on the merits of each state's allocation. And the only reason that we even mention the Strategic Contribution Fund is to explain to you why there's a problem potentially with the attorney's fees.
I guess that still didn't answer my question, though. Are we making attempts to resolve those portions of it which can be resolved, and an interpleader action could take place in regards to the Strategic Contribution Fund, or are we leaving that all together to try and negotiate all the various pieces of the car?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, at this particular point, we're taking no action as it relates to the Strategic Contribution Fund because the panel is still in the position of basically considering those amounts of money, and it's not appropriate for us to contact them to say, yeah, give Nebraska more money so that we can unhook the attorney's fees from this particular problem that we have. So we have not taken any action. Right. And that's, Representative, that's pursuant to the master settlement agreement that we're taking, the non-action that we're taking. That answers the question.
Feel uncomfortable?
Well, I
do look kind of uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable because I'd like to know what we're doing at the state try, and I mean, are we just leaving the whole settlement up to the NAG panel of the three former attorney generals to look at this globally, or are we doing anything proactively from our end to say, well, it appears that everything else is settled, everyone's in agreement with the contributions except in regards to the Strategic Contribution Fund. So let's pay out the attorney's fees instead of letting them sit in the account. Let's pay out and get the settlement on those issues we can agree on. Are we making the strategic decision back and wait and look at the fund as a whole, because you may be able to do a jack up in the attorney's fees here and do those kinds of have more variables.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, the proceeding that's pending before the Strategic Contribution Fund is like a quasi-judicial proceeding. It wouldn't be appropriate for us to try to contact them to say, you know, give the brass more money. We'll make some kind of a change here. We're doing everything that we can do under the Master Settlement Agreement to try to get the attorney's fees basically paid in a timely manner in the amount that the tackle company said they would pay us.
Okay. Yeah. Any further questions for Mark or Kristen? Thank you very much. I, too, would like to echo some of the words
Ms. Granger began the presentation with. Amit, along with Georgine and Ms. Granger on Monday with Hardy, and he very sincerely wanted to be here today, and in fact offered several times to cancel his trip, and I, as chair, said no. Go back at the school violence conference he was attending. I want to say Memphis, Tennessee, but it's Jackson, Mississippi. I finally got that right. Anyway, so Hardy very definitely wanted to be here today, and make it, so that's where I know. With that, we'll hear from staff. Where are we going? Where we've been.
Mr. Chairman, this is the committee. Good afternoon. You have before you a memorandum from me, and it gives a little bit of background, but sort of refreshes your memory what we did previously in reducing the general fund and then our Department of Civil Enforcement Consumer Protection and Financial Fraud section by $569,898. What we are doing today is it's further reducing the general fund in that particular program by the amount equal to what the Department of Justice expects to get in excess reimbursement of legal fees in the tobacco. That's an additional $508,026. Inasmuch as we are expecting them to use those excess monies to continue the consumer protection and financial fraud, we need to increase the other fund's expenditure limitations to allow them to spend those monies for consumer protection. So we would increase the other fund's expenditure limitation by $508,026.
Mr. Chair,
could I ask for a clarification on that? If for some reason the money does not come in from the settlement as we anticipate it will, what is the recourse?
Okay, let's make a full question until
we get through the report, because we certainly contemplated that.
It's a legitimate question.
There are two budget notes that you're asked to consider and approve. One is related to the Consumer Protection and Financial Fraud Program, and it reads as follows. The reduction of general funding as part of Consumer Protection and Financial Fraud Program is intended to be a temporary reduction because the department expects to receive the reimbursement in the tobacco settlement case in excess of its legal costs. Therefore, the department, in conjunction with the Department of Administrative Services, is directed to restore $1,077,924 of general fund as part of the department's 2001-03 current service level budget. I might add that the $1,077,924 is the exact amount that we've taken out. The other budget note is something that was discussed by this subcommittee in terms of reducing the cost of appeals and therefore reducing the number of appeals and therefore reducing the cost of appeals. It has also been discussed in subcommittees related to Judicial Department and Indigent Defense, and it appears here and likely will be in the post budget also. The Department of Justice and the Judicial Department shall work with the interim judiciary committees to identify ways, either administratively or statutorily, to reduce the number of appeals available to defendants without violating any defendant's constitutional rights. And number four, because we have further reduced the department's general fund resources in consumer protection, they don't have money to fund a position, and you see the position number there, 000006. So we need to allow them to change that to fund that position with other funds. And that's simply a technical adjustment. All the other adjustments that she made previously are still valid. And if you will turn over to the back side of the spreadsheet, the bottom third of the page, you will see the adjustments that we made before. And below the green line, 5399-1 page, turn over that. The back side of the spreadsheet that would summarize the recommendations for today. With that, Mr. Chair.
Well, we want to ask questions first or accept the motion to move LFO's recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be glad to make the motion, but I'd like to ask the question that was raised a little earlier by someone that said if this money doesn't come through, that does not preclude the Attorney General from coming back to the E-Board.
And that is exactly correct and exactly the answer.
And I wanted to get it on the record because somebody asked the question and deserves to have the record that there's no way denying the Attorney General to come back.
That is exactly correct, and that's the answer to your question, Representative. We didn't want to include it in. I suppose we could have, but as long as we put it on the record, I think that's a crisis. That would be a true emergency in every sense of the word, and the department would certainly be eligible to apply the emergency board for the additional funding or a portion thereof if they knew it was coming at a date certain but hadn't arrived yet. The last thing that this committee is trying to do is refund the Consumer Protection and Fraud Division.
I so move the LFO recommendation.
Thank you. Any discussion? Representative Mannix.
I will support this based on the anticipation that we will not separately change the rate other than as previously discussed.
Well, we have not changed the rate.
I'm here to do that. I just want to make sure I don't get another slip of paper coming down the table in the next few minutes.
We want it.
We tried to.
let's be honest. I mean, the that was looked at.
Yeah, we could do it.
Over, under, sideways, and down. I think it's a testament to the committee's initial work that we arrived at the final conclusion to begin with.
Well, that's what Representative Taffridge.
Chair, since we have the DOJ budget back in front of our committee, we kind of subsequent budgets. As well, we had the Institute of Defense budget as well as the judicial budgets before our committee. We talked a little bit about the Institute of Defense piece, if there's a way that we can do some, that we can work on the negotiation part of the appellate process to reduce the number of appeals. And I know we have this new budget note in here in regards to identifying other ways to administratively or statutorily reduce the number of appeals available for veterans. But I think we wanted to be clear that we've got a lot. You know, we just increased all the, we just added a bunch of very generals to do appellate work and do some of those things. We also talked to Indigent Defense people about negotiating some of those appeals as they move through the process, whether they're good or bad, and try and get those off, try and negotiate those off instead of having them bog down the system and increase the caseload. So I just wanted to get on the record. I think the budget note probably deals with that to some degree, but we had also talked about putting in a budget note when we talked about the Indigent Defense portion of the budget. And we had, when we had the court, when we had the court budget, they also said that they'd be interested in looking at that. And I don't remember the lady's name, he's the coordinator for the court who helps deal with that.
We can now forward, you mean the state court administration?
Ann Christensen. Ann Christensen will for sure, in terms of trying to make defense attorneys and the attorney general's office talk to each other. So I just wanted to have that on the record. I don't know if we need an additional budget note. We talked about putting that on as a budget note.
Well, Representative Mann.
So, I don't think we can, I mean, we can always want to encourage that, but on appeal, 95% of the time it's the defendant who lost who is appealing, and the only thing that we want to do is supposed to be to say, okay, we're going to, what are we going to do, undo the conviction? The plea bargaining that would occur is with the prosecutors at the trial level, and the issue with this budget, you know, is to get at the process and the availability of appeals, not to say that somehow we should compromise on the matters that do get taken up. And I think that that's an important distinction. I certainly don't want the state to say, well, you know, we'll start giving out get-out-of-jail-free cards in order to reduce the impact on the appeals. And I'm not suggesting that Representative Patrick is talking about that either, but I do think that we're moving in the right direction here. And I don't think there's any language to come up with another budget other than to say that we encourage the Department of Justice to always look at ways to ameliorate the concerns of the field. But if you got a 95% victory run, I don't know what else you can do other than win.
You know, the longer I sit in this chair, I think the longer all the committee members sit in their respective chairs, it just becomes clearer and clearer and clearer to me. I'm speaking from a fiscal standpoint now. The you know, the complicated nature of the jigsaw of justice in this state and how interrelated it is and how all the pieces should fit more intricately together, and they don't. And we've got certain things out of whack and certain things out of balance, and that's something I'm very concerned about, you know, in the interim, is getting the scales of justice more in line. It's going to be a big project, and quite frankly, it's going to take some money. So some of this stuff just is not funded properly. So anyway, any other Representative Schrader?
Apologize for coming in a little bit later. My understanding from the gentleman that was testifying that the maximum amount of attorney's fees we can expect is $1.7 million. And then I thought he also mentioned we could go as low as 500 some odd
$600,000. It's the difference between $600,000 and $1.7 million, but they're anticipating their share is $1.7
And just the question is, since we're reducing the budget by $1 million, we're hoping we'll come out at least somewhere in the middle then in that final arrangement with Nebraska and all the other things.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He thought that we would come out more than what we put into the cost, which is the $600,000 figure.
Yeah. Counting on at least $400,000 more.
Yeah.
Representative Minnis.
I was going to clarify. I heard Representative Trader say $400,000 more, but they difference between the cost and what they originally expect to get is $1.1 million.
But at the end of, I'm just referring to, you know, we're obligating $1 million here, and so I want to make sure at least we're going to get $400,000 more than our cost for it. Representative,
just to change the subject a little bit, during the course of this budget, we talked about a gatekeeper's budget for Department of Administrative Services. Has that been done?
Yeah, and that's a macro issue that I think is best dealt with in the DAS budget.
Right. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. Right. Good. Stay on that. That's important. Any other further questions?
I'm just moving the question.
Oh, you're moving the question?
Yes, sir.
Hold on. This is a Democratic process. And we're
no, it's a Republican. I'm going to
the Democratic process. Sir. Any other questions? Representative Hens.
I don't know whether we need to have a formal amendment or not. I think that should reduce the number of appeals. I'd want to say to reduce the number and cost of appeals. Because we may not end up reducing the number of appeals, but we may find some ways to make them more cost effective. But if that's already understood and saying that, I don't think that we need to.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think that's a legitimate point. Is there a way in the budget narrative, Georgine, that we can address the number and cost of appeals without going through an amendment process here in the committee?
Sure. Before we go there, I think we need to talk about this. This department does not have control over how many appeals are.
Oh, excuse me just a minute, Representative Kozanski. I've asked a question, and I'd like that answered, and then we will discuss that. But
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm sure you can just amend the budget notice I presented if that's your real wishes. I think this is the first budget that has appeared in. I may be wrong, but it's my understanding that the same budget note will be placed in the budget report of the Judicial Department as well as, I believe, Indigent Defense. Maybe not Indigent Defense, I don't know. And so it hasn't been, if that information is correct, then the budget note has not been approved by any social committee.
Mr. Chairman, what I'm looking at is just a way without amending the budget note here to address it in the budget narrative.
As amending the budget note, what would you use as a mechanism to screen those appeals or to identify those appeals and to determine which one was going to be allowed, which one would not be allowed?
Well, I think that's what the budget note is trying to get at. But just a second, I cut our Representative Kozanski off.
Senator Hannah's right there. I mean, how do we measure this? First of all, this agency does not control the overwhelming number of appeals that are coming into the process. And I don't know how you're going to measure it. To me, it's almost a slap in the agency's face, like for some reason that they're trying to run up the appeals or run out their costs. I think professionally they're doing the job they need to do as prudent as they can based on what's going on. I just don't see what we're going to get except for maybe a field grid that we've got some note in there that can't be measured. And I don't see how you're going to be able to somehow determine whether or not they were able to accomplish whatever the note says.
Well, and my sense of that is that you're answering the question that we've asked the interim, trying to answer, you know, pre-answering the question without looking at it. You know, how do we know, I guess, is my sentiment about that, unless we look at it.
Well, in fact, this isn't focusing on the Department of Justice. This budget note says the Department of Justice and the Judicial Department shall work with the Interim Judiciary Committee. There's three entities that are identified here, and by the way, it's really four if you look at Indigent Defense, which presently is within the judicial branch. By the way, I wish we'd say judicial branch. I'll make a motion in a minute to clean that up. But the point is to get a bunch of people working together, and then I'd say that we do want to talk about the number and cost of appeals and other proceedings. Habeas corpus is not really an appeal. Post-conviction proceedings are not really an appeal. But they're all part of this whole process of continuing litigation that we're trying to get a handle on. And when it becomes appropriate, I'll make a motion to at least have a precise amendment in front of us, Mr. Chairman. But I think we're not focusing on the Department of Justice. I think we're talking about the whole system.
The whole issue. Boyd?
It just comes back to the point of I'm not sure how we're going to measure it, and then adding another obligation on somebody within each of these different areas, and if so, that's something that we need to be, I'm not sure really what we're going, how we're going to get them to accomplish that, and how much time do we want them to spend on that, and what is our expectations for them to bring back to us?
I think, I understand what you're saying. I think there's two sides to the same coin. Opposite sides of the same coin. At the same time, I'm uncomfortable not having this budget note in there. One of my few frustrations with the department, if you will, and this is just not DOJ, this is our justice system, if you will, is there's actually very little being brought to us in ways of helping us to reduce costs. Now, that's not their responsibility. I understand that. But when we sit here, that's our responsibility. And they have more experience with these issues times 10 than most of us on the legal members have experience with this. But it needs to be a collaborative effort. I don't see it as a condemnation in any way, shape, or form. It's just in there that this be done. There might not be any. I doubt that. But there's got to be some ways that we can save some taxpayer dollars here.
Yes, sir.
Senator Hannah.
A budget note drafted along the line that the representative from Salem suggested might be better stated by saying the intent of the legislature, the Department of Justice, Department, whoever else, work in cooperation with the Joint Interim Judiciary Committee and come up with possible recommendations on potential cost savings as it relates to trials, appeals, and list the whole gambit of things and what your expectation is rather than keeping it very narrow and focused.
Mr. Chairman?
Just a second. Let's go and talk to us.
I was just going to say, I think I like the suggestion, Senator Hannah's suggestion. I think it's true that we do need to, there does need to be some dialogue, I think, outside the box about what we're doing and in terms of the judicial process. And if there's recommendations that can be made, I think that we should, that the department should come forth and make those. And it's very difficult, as you said, Mr. Chair, for the legislature to come into the session without having explored all the opportunities, letting the interim judiciary explore the opportunities and letting the departments explore the opportunities. If there are opportunities, I think it's great and wonderful. If there aren't, and we're going to stay within our current system, because that's what works and that's what we've been doing, then so be it. But I think it's not bad to ask.
Representative May?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we amend the proposed budget note under 3, the second budget note, to read, the Legislative Assembly requests the Department of Justice and the Judicial Branch, (paren), including Indigent Defense, close (paren), to work with the Interim Judiciary Committees to identify ways, comma, either administratively or statutorily, comma, to reduce the number and cost of appeals and other proceedings available to defendants, comma, without violating any defendant's constitutional rights.
Senator? I'm totally comfortable. I would withdraw my motion and insert his.
If I may explain something here, you may notice that I use the word request. There's a reason for that. The judicial branch is a co-equal branch of government, so I don't think it's appropriate for us to tell them to do something like this to work with us. We can ask them to do so. We could probably tell the Department of Justice, since it's within the executive branch and we're giving them money, but in a way I think we should also show respect to the executive branch as making this a collaborative process, and that's why I suggest that phraseology.
And I thank everyone on the committee and the department. Appreciates the work.
Okay, we have a motion to accept Representative Manning's budget note to replace the second paragraph of point number three, budget note number three, actually our second budget note. Is there any further discussion? Any objections? Motion carries. I feel like you still can't be writing that thing after.
I can. I have my rough notes. I'm writing it so the staff can read it.
Okay.
And
I think that's a good addition. I appreciate everyone's concern about that particular budget note. And I'm looking for a motion, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Senate Bill 6520 as amended to the full committee with a due-pass recommendation.
Thanks, Senator. Any discussion? Any objections?
One objection. Any other objections? Point of order, Mr. Chair. Did we adopt these amendments? Did you want us to adopt these amendments first?
We adopted the LFO recommendation.
And these recommendations are to Senate Bill 5520A engrossed. They were already passed by the Senate, and so the A engrossed version already includes the prior recommendations that you approved in the case for you before.
Yeah, everything else is in there. Okay. We're not buying my calendar.
Hold on. Any objections? Let the record show for a minute later. Is that an objection?
Yes, it is. When I face the amendments, I think we're fine. I just had some lingering concerns from our previous discussion. I think that there are probably some more efficiencies that could be made. I respect the good work the department's been willing to work with everybody. So.
And actually, Representative Schrader is happy because he did not officially vote no on your budget the first time it came through here. So it did pass unanimously. Now he gets to.
Well, not happy. He just means
his cough dropped discontent. See no objections other than Representative Schrader, unless the Representative Schrader was made. Motion carries. We need carriers. Senator
Tanner, or back for concurrence. Because Charlie has the Senate, right?
Well, we have to go through Ways and Means the first time.
Senator Tim, the Senate bill. You do us the honor of carrying this on the Senate. And we already have an assigned carrier on the House, I believe.
Okay.
I think that you were assigned.
I don't want to take it away.
Whatever.
I'll take it if you want me to.
Hold on, we need a motion. We've got to do this. You know, we've got to amend the whole thing. Who do you have written down?
I had Representative Manning written
down. That's Kevin.
Then it's Kevin. Then it's Kevin to begin with.
By golly.
Any further business coming before the committee today? Smiles, good work, folks. We are adjourned. Yes, yeah.